As the passengers filed off into the Balut terminal building, Paul was surprised to see so much security. Hypervigilant red uniformed soldiers monitored all exits, all lines of people. "More internal troubles?" he said to Bronso. "Every great and minor house feuds with other noble families, I suppose." Joining them on the deck, Sielto grinned at Paul. "The more arguments, the more customers for us. Balut is a cesspool of saboteurs and agents for each side." Now that the boys knew their secret, the face dancers were oddly casual about their secondary profession. "You've wasted no time doing your research on local tensions, I see," Bronso said. Sielto acted non-threatening, even trustworthy. "It is an important part of my job. The ruling Keo family has entered into an alliance with House Heron, a wealthy but minor off-world family. House Heron has only been on Balut for a couple of decades, and already they control the most exquisitely talented crystal carvers, glassmakers, and etchers. Now the Herons have worked their way into Governor Keo's inner power circle. And some of the old guard families don't like it," Paul said with a sigh. "Naturally." He scanned the crowd as people milled around. The arriving passengers lined up to pass through a series of checkpoints. "They don't want Balut tainted by outsiders." The face dancer smiled. At the security checkpoints, all of the troops' cargo cases, prop wardrobes, and animal cages received an intense examination. Neither Paul nor Brunso carried identity documents, nor did many of the troop members, so they passed through secondary screening, where they were thoroughly catalogued. Ahead of Paul in line, Brunso pressed his hand against an identity plate, and a silvery scanner light bathed him. Unlike the previous passengers, Brunso remained under the glow for a long moment. Paul held his breath, sure that they had been caught. A suspicious, red-uniformed officer told Bronso to stand still as he checked the readings. Paul swallowed hard as the line backed up behind them, and a guard diverted him to a second scanner where he was sure he'd trigger a security alert as well. He swallowed hard as he went through the identification process, but he passed without anyone giving him a second glance. Paul glanced over to where the uniformed officer looked Bronso up and down, scowling. "Scanner says you're a member of the former Balut noble family." The red-headed boy was disheveled, his clothes stained and threadbare, a roustabout scamp traveling with the jongleur troupe. "Yeah, I get confused with royalty all the time," Bronso said with bold sarcasm. The guard glanced at his companion, and both let out loud guffaws. They pushed him through and called the next person forward. Bronso joined Paul, wiping perspiration from his forehead. Sielto followed, close behind. "Sometimes the best way to search is to be found." Zensuni postulate. A week later, in their small stateroom aboard another Highliner, Gurney strummed his new balisette, experimenting with melodies and humming tunes in his head. Now that they had left Chusik with no particular destination in mind, Duncan pored over the charts of star routes, trying to imagine where the jongleur troop might have gone. So far, they had spent many fruitless days. "I'd have to be a mentat to figure this out. We should have brought Howard along after all. Paul and Bronso could have gotten off almost anywhere. There are too many possible locations for us to search them all." Gurney plucked a wrong note. "Neither of us is going to give up. We promised the Duke." Duncan pushed the papers aside. "Yes, and we owe it to the young master as well. Paul has gotten in over his head, but he's never seemed like the type who needs rescuing."
"We all need to be rescued at one time or another."
It wasn't a familiar quote, but a nugget of his own wisdom. Gurney toyed with a new tune. A Waku steward appeared at the stateroom door, bearing a tray of food. Duncan looked up at him suspiciously.
We didn't order meals in our quarters.
You are correct, but I needed some reason to come here.
The Waku man had a black goatee and impenetrable glasses over his eyes.
We've all heard about the search for the missing sons of Duke Atreides and Earl Vernius. Paul and Bronzo are their names, correct?
Gurney rose to his feet, setting the baliset aside.
Do you have any leads on the boys?
I have facts.
My name is Enzin.
I did know two boys that matched the descriptions I've read, and their names were Paul and Bronzo.
Where? Duncan asked. And when did you last see them?
They worked with me for a time on a highliner, but when the guild discovered that they were stowaways, they were put off at Chusik. They joined a jongleur troop.
Gurney's shoulders slumped with disappointment.
We've already tracked them that far. We lost their trail after that.
There is more.
A certain member of that same jongleur troop dispatched a message to us from Balut. It seems that when Rainvar's group arrived there, a security scan identified the genetic markers of the former noble family, House Balut, in one of the young roustabouts.
Duncan put the pieces together. Bronzo's grandmother was Lady Shando of Balut.
Did they detain the boys? Gurney pressed.
No. Security had no record of, nor any particular interest in, a missing member of the Balut family. Fortunately, my source takes interest in a great many matters.
The Waku steward stepped inside and rested the food tray on a small table, then removed the coverings to reveal an unappetizing-looking meal.
The dinner comes free with the information.
And what do we owe you for the information itself? Duncan said. Enzin gave a faint smile.
I developed a fondness for the boys. After I researched your situation in greater detail, I became concerned about them. Though Bronzo and Paul both struck me as flexible, intelligent, and resourceful young men, they don't belong on their own, traveling as they do. It would be sufficient reward for me to help you bring them home.
And why would a member of the jongleur troop have sent you this news?
Gurney was suspicious at the Waku's lack of any demands.
Waku and jonglers have much in common, traveling as we do through the various regions of space. Our peoples yearn to see new places, have new experiences, and so we've developed a natural affinity for one another.
Shared information is sometimes mutually beneficial.
And are the boys still on Balut?
As far as I know.
But who can know all the movements of a jongleur troop?
Duncan hauled out the star charts again. We've got to get to Balut as soon as possible, Gurney.
Unfortunately, this vessel does not go there, Enzin said.
You'll have to take an alternate route from the next hub. I would be happy to help you plot the best course.
Where's the next hub stop?
Gurney wished his sense of urgency could make the Highliner arrive faster.
Ix, Enzin replied.
Gurney glanced sharply at Duncan.
That'll do just fine.